Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. There's so much in our readings today. I mean, we could spend hours with the sermon, and I know you'd like to do that, but we won't. But, you know, it's interesting, like the first lesson that Larry read, you know, it's Moses and God, and it seems like Moses is the adult in the room. Think about that. And in the second reading from Timothy, where St. Paul says, chief of sinners he is, and that's where we get our hymn, chief of sinners though I be. But, you know, studying God's Word and hearing God's Word is such a delight. And to me, that's why I love fall. You start, the leaves start coming down, and the kids are going back to school, and the Steelers have their first game today, and we get into Carol's back, and we have our adult education taking place downstairs. Wednesdays, we're looking at the how to be a Christian in the 21st century. We looked at evil last week. We're going to look at Christian justice this week. You're welcome to that. And our fall schedule is upon us, and it's great. And we're starting to get back into the rhythm of the fall, getting back to our rhythms of worship and learning. You know, for Lutherans, catechesis and liturgia, liturgy, worship, and catechesis, study of the Word and learning the Word and the doctrines, they're two sides of the same coin that help lead us in a Christian life in days of turbulent waters. And I love teaching and learning. I mean, I love reading. And I guess that goes back to when I was a little kid. My dad, I didn't get an allowance for taking out the garbage or mowing the lawn or making my bed. Of course, I don't make my bed now. Joan does. But you know, he did give me a penny a page. Every time I read a book, I could get a penny a page. That's how I got my allowance. So I turned into a voracious reader. I love to read, and I love to teach. Because my dad was a teacher. He taught fourth and fifth grade science and math at Rose Avenue School in Newcastle, and then he taught at West Pittsburgh. And when my dad would teach, he was kind of quirky. The kids would come in for the first day of class, and he'd give them a quiz the first day. And then say, oh, Mr. Schenker, that's not fair. So, since we're starting our fall schedule, I'm going to give you a quiz. And feel free to just yell out the answer if you know it. Okay, here's the questions my dad would give his class. Who was buried in Grant's tomb? Okay. Who was the Washington Monument named after? And say, oh, Mr. Schenker, that's so hard. Whose statue is in the Lincoln Memorial? Okay. So that's kind of low-hanging fruit right there. Okay, that's a great job. But now, let's get a little more serious. How many theses did Martin Luther nail on the church door in Wittenberg on October 31st, 1517? How many theses? Yeah, you're doing good. I'm proud of you. How many books are there in the Holy Bible? Okay, we're going to... 66. So I'm not going to make it tough. I was not going to say how many in the Old Testament, how many in the New Testament. Okay, we'll skip that. What's the first commandment of the Ten Commandments? I'm hard of hearing. What? Well, I am the Lord your God. That's how it all begins. And the first commandment? Okay, Marilyn, you get an A+. Okay. And final question. What was Martin Luther's wife's name? Katie. Katrina von Bora, but he called her his lovely Katie, which also in German could be translated chain. So that's another story, but anyhow. Education in our tradition, the Word of God is important. You know, there's a story about a Sunday school teacher who went to her class on the first day of Sunday school, and it was a third grade class, and she said, if all the bad children were painted red and all the good children were painted green, what color would you be? So think about that. Would you be red, a bad person, a student, or would you be green, a good student? That's a hard question, huh? And a little girl, you know, out of the mouth of babes, a third grader, you know, so smart, she said, well, teacher, I guess I would be striped. I would be striped. And that's the insight Martin Luther had. You know, none of us are perfect. We have our light side and our dark side. There's always a struggle. It's like that angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder. That's why Luther said, we're in Latin, simul peccator et ustius. We're sinner and saint, and we're wrestling in this life between following the way of God and going our own way. Or like Frank Sinatra said, do it my way. This is not the way God wants things. That's why we need to read and study God's word and come to worship and hear God's word and pray God's word and sing God's word and understand God's word and act on God's word. Once there was a man who was asked, are you a practicing Christian? And he said, no, I got it right the first time. Well, that guy's kind of arrogant. This guy's kind of arrogant because we are practicing. We aren't. We never are a virtuoso in Christianity. We're always practicing. St. Paul, what did he say? Chief of sinners, though I be. And that's a high bar there. Martin Luther once said, God's word is not the kind of teaching you can grasp with reason or your mind alone. It doesn't reach the human heart that way. The more educated and the more sharpened a person's reasoning ability, the less he understands. I have my doctorate. I'm pretty stupid, according to Luther. Christian teaching doesn't appeal to reason alone. It appeals to the heart. It is a gift received through the word alone, through the heart, opened to the Holy Spirit. See, according to Luther, and you read Paul and Jesus, we don't live from the outside in, we live from the inside out. What comes out of the heart goes into our mouth. What comes out of the heart goes into our actions. What comes out of the heart goes into our attitudes. You know, so many psychologists would say, it's not the event that counts, it's your attitude, your response to that event. In fact, in chapter 15 of Luke's gospel, we hear Jesus twice uses the word repent. 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 And in that whole chapter, you go with there's a lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, and Jesus talks about repenting, turning back to God. Turning back, you found the sheep, and then you go back to the 99, you celebrate. You find the coin, you invite the neighborhood, you celebrate. The lost son, he comes back to his dad. His dad grabs him, hugs him. They celebrate and kill the fatted calf. It's a celebration. God seeks out the lost, just like the shepherds sought out that lost sheep. Thank God Jesus chose to welcome sinners. I wouldn't be here if he didn't welcome sinners. You wouldn't be here. People like you and me. And he invites us to his table every Sunday to feed us with wine and bread, his body and blood, the word of God through holy scriptures, through prayer, through beautiful hymns that you're choosing today and Don plays so well. And you know, when sinners repent to Jesus, when the lost are found, there is joy in heaven. The angels are doing line dances and they're singing and there's dancing and there's joy. What do the self-righteous, the ones that have it all figured out, the know-it-alls, the Pharisees and the scribes, the self-proclaimed, upright, uptight, non-sinners, know-it-alls, what do? They grumble and complain because they have all the answers. And if you're not like me, then you're obviously a sinner or you're unclean. And Jesus kind of broke all the rules to the Pharisees and it made them very upset. The sinners are killjoys. The Pharisees and the scribes are killjoys. In fact, Jesus tells us that there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. You ever meet those 99 righteous persons? I mean, I'd rather be around sinners myself. Those righteous people, they are no fun. They are no fun. They know it all. They're upright, uptight. And if you did know these people, I'll bet that there'd be a lot of grumbling and a lot of judging and pointing of fingers and thinking, I'm right, you're wrong. They'd be pretty judgmental, always finding fault. See, none of us is without sin. None of us. Thank God. God in Jesus Christ seeks out sinners. Some people wrote a poem about Jesus, the hound of heaven. He seeks us out. He seeks us out till he finds us. When we repent, basically when we turn back to our baptism, we turn back to God. We turn back to God's word. When we say, mea culpa, mea culpa. The Latin church sometimes says, felix culpa. What joyful sin, because it reminds us that our motivation is not just in looking at ourselves and peeling the onions of our psyche and getting to the core of that. No, it comes from the outside in, through God and Jesus Christ. And humility helps open us to that reality. Isn't that great news? And you know, the great thing is that the lost part of us is as valued to God as the found part of us. God loves all of us. God loves our light side. God loves our dark side. God loves what we're ashamed of, and God loves what we're proud of. And that's amazing, the amazing grace of God that's hard for us to comprehend. He doesn't want to lose any part of us. He doesn't want any of us or any part of us to be ignored or neglected or lost. God wants to bless all of us from our top of our heads to the bottom of our feet, all of us. And God rejoices when one of us, or even part of us, is found. You know, today's 9/11, and 21 years ago, we had a horrible, horrible thing in our country. Horrible. We were violated. We were attacked, and many people were died. And a few months after the attack happened, St. Brendan's Episcopalian Church and I, we went to Ground Zero, to St. Paul's Episcopalian Church. It was there, right there. And the hole in the ground was still there. The metal that was all, it still had the stench in the air. And there was still ashes. St. Paul's in the back had a cemetery, and it's still ashes from that. And it was terrible. And our job was to be with the policemen and the emergency workers and the fire people that were there. And they came into the church. It was raining outside, and we had socks. We had massage therapy. We would pray with them. The restaurants gave food. So we brought the food in to feed these wonderful people that were working so hard. And when they would find, like, a piece of a body, a toe or a finger, or they do a DNA test, they found out who that was, there'd be a full funeral service for that person, because that part's love, that part represented that person that they couldn't find the rest of that person. It was horrible, but it was beautiful what we did. We prayed for them, you know. And you know, this week Queen Elizabeth II died. The day after 9/11, she had the royal band in front of, where does she live? In England. Huh? Buckingham Palace. The band with the big furry hats. They played the Star Spangled Banner. And people were waving flags, American flags, to show support and love. There's a lot of love there. But you know what? That wonderful, compassionate love pales in comparison to how much God loves us. God loves us a billion times more than even that. And you know what? He loves us and others. If you know someone who doesn't know the love of God, who might be kind of grumpy or feeling bad or stuck in this political wars we have in this country, and they have no peace and they don't sleep and they just watch certain news outlets, maybe they need to hear about Jesus Christ, who loves them just the way they are. Just the way they are. With their beauty and their warts. The whole thing. If you know someone who doesn't know God's word, invite them to church. Share with them the joy of Christ that you have in your heart. They need to hear it. Bring them to Jesus. And you, like Jesus, will be going after the lost sheep. And the lost will be found. And you're going to hear some beautiful things in heaven. Because just like when Queen Elizabeth died, the double rainbow, there's going to be double joy in heaven over one sinner who turns back and knows the joy of life, fullness of life, everlasting life that we have in Jesus Christ. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.